Since many of you know me well by now, I bet many of you suspect that I'm going to indulge myself today talking about cricket. And what's unusual is we are not even talking about the cricket victory. In fact, when we won at Melbourne, we did not talk about it in Cut the Clutter, because Cut the Clutter means look at some complication. You win, you lose, you draw. Usually there should not be a complication to look at, but there is one. And that's not just because the Honorable Supreme Court of India, while holding forth on the farmers' protests, once again reminded us of its adventure or misadventures with Indian cricket, because they proposed the name of former Chief Justice R.M. Lodha as the likely person to head the committee to resolve the farmer strike. We remember what happened when he tried to resolve issues with Indian cricket. It led to Indian cricket being taken over by judiciary and retired bureaucrats and retired judges and retired and one retired general also for quite some time. In fact, it was a mess that Indian cricket found itself in. This is something which in my more, I would say, reckless moments, I called the Uchchatam Nyayalaya Rashtriya Seva Nivritt Judge or Civil Service Punar Rozgar Yojana, or in English, because Hindi is fashionable these days for these yojanas or schemes. Supreme Court, national retired judges and civil service officers re-employment scheme. As I mentioned to you, one of these was a retired general as well. So let's hope, first of all, that Indian farmers' issues don't go the way of Indian cricket, because Indian cricket is now finally showing the signs of recovering from the damage that three and a half years of judicial activism caused it. Now, why do we celebrate a mere draw? So, as we celebrate a mere draw, we also celebrate test cricket. And that's one complication I come to. Because there is so much hava now, ODIs, T20s, it's all over in a few hours, it's colorful, array, test cricket, you go on and on and on. But test cricket has now changed. One, it's old hat to say that test cricket is the real cricket, because people would say, who has the time to watch a game for 5 days? Now, first of all, and then it may end up in a draw. Now, first of all, these days, very few games last 5 days, very few games. Second, very few games are drawn these days unless rain interferes. Almost everything is decided. The game has changed, and test cricket has changed, particularly with 90 overs a day and covers and everything else and some lighting. The next thing that's peculiar to test cricket, which I think makes it so special, is that in test cricket, all three results are possible. That is, win, lose or draw. Now, you might turn around and say, oh, even in an ODI or T20, you might have a tie, but usually you will then have a super over and stuff like that. But a draw in a test cricket is a very clear and obvious possibility a lot of the times. And very often, a draw can feel like a victory or a draw can feel like a defeat. So if you look at what happened this morning at Sydney Cricket Ground, India would see what happened as a victory and Australia would see it as a defeat, because when they declared after thrashing Indian bowlers, being in a completely dominant position, they set a target for India, knowing that India will never be able to get there. There was only one team that was trying to win, and that was Australia. So when you don't achieve your objective, then you lost. India's objective was to draw, so India won. So in this draw, India achieved a victory, and also test cricket achieved a victory, because it showed you that a cricket game could last 5 days, full 15 sessions, could still be absorbing session by session, could still end in a draw, and could still give you value for money, including value for waking up at 5 in the morning or even earlier now to watch the game. But I will make one confession to you. I'm such a chicken that every morning I've been waking up at 5 o'clock. But this morning I did not. I did not set the alarm. And even though I did wake up, I did not switch on the TV because I was so scared. I told you, I'm chicken about these things. So think of this. A mere fan like me is scared even to watch what's going to happen, because presumption was that India will roll over. Glenn McGrath said yesterday in the commentary that he expects to go home just after lunchtime or by lunchtime and relax, because India will be bundled out by then. But that did not happen. In fact, I switched on only around 10 o'clock or 10:15 when I saw a tweet pop up on my screen from somebody praising Hanuma Vihari for carrying on batting in spite of being injured. And I said, oh, if Hanuma Vihari is batting right now, that means we are in the game. So I checked it out. Now, draws, test cricket, the mystique of test cricket and the mystique of a well-fought draw, which sometimes I would say is more fun or more satisfying than a victory. Particularly these days when you have so few draws, very few teams now have that mindset to fight, play the day, play time, or as we used to say, or legendary commentators used to say in the past, don't bat against the clock, bat against the calendar. That means to pass time. It happens less and less now because cricket has changed, batting has changed, bowling has changed, everything has changed. In that situation, it's very tough to find comparisons. Now, I looked at comparisons and I checked around and I found that the one comparison I will find for today's draw that India achieved overseas, drawing at home, fighting to the last ball is not so much fun, but drawing overseas like this is something very special. So the only comparison I find in recent times, that is more than two decades now, is Napier in New Zealand in 2009. That was the test match in which Gautam Gambhir played probably the innings of his life and probably the greatest innings for a batsman to save a test match. If you want me to jog your memory, I will do that. So New Zealand batted first, scored 609 runs, 609. India in reply scored 305 and then were made to follow on. India followed on and nobody gave India a chance because you are already 304 behind in the first innings. And there was a lot of time left in the game. What happened? India actually drew the game at 476 for 4. How was that achieved? That was mainly built around Gautam Gambhir's score of 137, for which he batted, hold your breath because we forget these things, for which he batted 643 minutes. That's almost two full days. 643 minutes, faced 436 balls. I think one of the greatest innings ever played by any batsman in a saving cause, in a cause to save a test match, that too in New Zealand, where most visiting teams lose, conditions being what they are. So he opened the batting. I told you he scored 137, and look at the people who batted with him. Rahul Dravid, 62 runs, 220 balls. So everybody put their head down. Sachin Tendulkar, 64 runs, 131 balls. VVS Lakshman, 124, 212 balls. And Yuvraj Singh, 54 runs, 63 balls. So if you look at the minutes batted, then 643 minutes for Gautam Gambhir. Virinder Sehwag, 42 minutes. Rahul Dravid, 242 minutes. Sachin Tendulkar, 167 minutes. VVS Lakshman, 212 minutes. Yuvraj Singh, 63 minutes. So the entire team batted 726 minutes, whereas Gautam Gambhir by himself batted 643 minutes. So that tells you what an epic fight back for a draw that was. And that is what makes the kind of thing that makes Test cricket so special and so different. Then there are some others, again, because we forget. 2010-11 series in South Africa. So this was a test match. India were looked destined to lose at Newlands. South Africa scored 362. India scored 364, actually got a first innings lead of 2. Then South Africa scored 341. By that time, the pitch was deteriorating. Ball was moving a lot. Dale Steyn and Morne Morkel were at their best. Nobody gave India a chance of being able to chase. There wasn't enough time. And quite sensibly, Dhoni was the captain then. India decided not to chase but to defend. But to defend for more than a day against the combined might of, there was also Sobe at that point and also Harris. This was a very good South African attack. And once again, India stood up to it in a determined manner. And once again, who was the star in that defending cause and winning a famous draw at Newlands, Cape Town? it was again Gautam Gambhir. And once again, I will tell you the few things that happened there. Gautam Gambhir, 69 runs in 184 deliveries. Sehwag, 11 runs in 40 deliveries. The slowest Sehwag has batted. I think Dhoni got Sehwag in control and said, today you are not playing your usual game. We have to play as many deliveries as possible. Rahul Dravid, 31, but he consumed 112 deliveries. Sachin Tendulkar were just 14, but he also ate up 91 deliveries. When did you last see Sachin Tendulkar score 1 runs almost per 7 balls? VVS Lakshman, 32 in 67 balls. So India got 166 for 3 and drew the match. That again in my book was a famous draw. I watched it till the last moment, as I am sure most cricket fans did, and that draw once again was as satisfying as a victory, if not more. Now, I told you very few matches are drawn these days, and very few matches are drawn like this because most teams now throw in the towel, tail-enders throw in the towel, because if the frontline batsmen fail to perform, then people say, okay, we'll play in the next match. And that is what in this test match, Tim Payne, the Australian captain, the wicketkeeper, was trying to tell Ravichandran Ashwin that I will see you in Brisbane. So giving me an idea that this is now over, let's meet at Brisbane. But when the later order batsmen stay back and fight, it becomes that much more stirring. So as I go and look at India's record overseas over the past two decades, I find one more. That is in England 2002, Trent Bridge. And that is the test match in which Parthiv Patel was making his debut at 17 years, 153 days, that young. And that was the test match where it did not look like that India were in imminent danger of losing. But at one point in the second innings, when India had lost their eighth wicket at 396, remember, India had started with a huge first innings deficit. England scored 617. India had scored 357. So there was a deficit of 300 plus in this case also. So when India came into bat, it was presumed that India will not last even long enough to make England bat again. But India did, because many people performed. But the important thing is, when India lost their eighth wicket at 396, England still had more than an outside chance of being able to come and play T20 type, 20 overs, 25 overs, and still win the test match. And when eight wickets were down in an away test match and tail-enders are there, somebody had to stand up, just like Ravichandran Ashwin stood up today to fight. And what happened then was that the two Indians who stood up to defend were Zaheer Khan, the old veteran, but a bowler, a pure bowler, and Parthiv Patel, wicketkeeper, at that time just 17 and maybe 157 days old. So he and Zaheer Khan stood there. Patel batted 60 deliveries for his 19. Zaheer batted 40 deliveries for his 14. And they made sure that there was no door, back door left open for England to get in. So for me, that also is one more major fight that we can talk about. I can't find many more than these. Now, I started with episode with what might look like a bit of a cheap shot at the Supreme Court of India for their misplaced, misdirected intervention in Indian cricket. Now, I'm a journalist. I speak my mind. I don't whisper. I don't say things off the record. So anything I say or I mean is there on the record in writing and in speech. So I have written often enough that the Supreme Court erred gravely. It wasted judicial time and also its institutional capital messing with Indian cricket, and actually did Indian cricket no good, because now you see who's running Indian cricket. So what did the Supreme Court achieve in 3 years? Nevertheless, one reason that a lot of people seem to support the court's intervention at that point was that maybe they thought Indian cricket wasn't doing so well. There was a lot of corruption, there was a lot of hera-feri, performance was going down. Now, all that was contrary to facts. First of all those cases of so-called match fixing, including spot fixing, have ended only in one way, in the clearing or acquittal of all those accused. So not one charge has stuck. But if you leave that aside, you might say that there is a protection racket, some mile hue hain, unko bacha diya, it is possible. So forget all that. Look at the performance. Now, there is a lot of nostalgia about Indian cricket, that oh, we used to be such a great cricketing nation earlier, ab kya ho gaya, ye anpadh log aa gaye, India ki cricket barbaad ho gayi hai. So let me give you some data which is an eye-opener. And I have some of it thanks to statistician Mohandas Menon, but also some of it thanks to the book by Akash Chopra, the former cricketer turned commentator now. In fact, I wrote a national interest on this in 2017, of which I am sharing a link with you in today's description. Please read that. So if you look at that data, it is an eye-opener. We somehow seem to think, it's like our parents saying, Angrez ke zamane mein bada achha haal tha. Angrez ke zamane mein itna achha haal tha, Bharat ka, ke between 1900 and 1947, India's net economic growth rate was how much? 0%. And yet, our older generations were sometimes nostalgic about the British. They may still be so sometimes now. Similarly, people say, oh, Indira Gandhi ka time, license quota raj, sab theek thak tha, koi Ambani Adani nahi, right? Great time tha, wo great time nahi tha. These times may not be perfect, but they are less worse than before. Look at Indian cricket. Other things you might have arguments, but sport gives you data. So look at data. The first 100 tests India played in its history between 1932 and 1967, how many did India win? Just 10. Just 10. If India won a test match, it used to be a national celebration then. In fact, we used to then be desperate to see New Zealand come to India because that was the one team we could beat those days. No longer. Only 10 tests out of 100, and 40 were lost. 40% loss, a losing record, 10% winning. In fact, if you be honest to yourself, that record was exactly the same as Bangladesh's for the first 20 years of its cricket, a 10% victory record. So India were no better for the first 100 test matches they played between 1932, 67, Vinu Mankad, Pauli Umbrigger, Nari Contractor, Nawab of Patodi, Mushtaq Ali, everybody, in spite of that, no better than Bangladesh since 2000. Then you see how Indian cricket changed. The next 25 years, between 1967 and 1991, 174 test matches were played, India won 34. So 10 out of 100, now 34 out of 174, so India's winning record doubled from 10% to 20% in these 25 years. Now, what happens in the following 25 years? The following 25 years are 1992 to 2017. In those 25 years, India's winning record doubled again to 39.2%. So, India is doing better and better and better and better in cricket and in real cricket. I mean, not to count the fact that we won two ICC World Cups for ODIs, one for two T20s, but if test cricket is the real thing, India has done so much better since then. The one big shift that took place in Indian cricket, November 2000, Sourav Ganguly took over as India's captain. Bad boy Sourav Ganguly took over as India's captain. Then what happened? In the subsequent test matches, which is about 200 now, and we'll give you the precise figures on the screen, in the subsequent test matches, India's winning rate has gone up to 45%. That is fantastic. At 45%, India is just behind Australia, a little behind South Africa. It goes up and down with South Africa, and ahead of Sri Lanka, England, and Pakistan. Did you imagine this happening? Now, did this state of Indian cricket justify the venerable Supreme Court wading into it and messing things up? Again, they left it like a bad surgeon. I'm sorry to say so. A bad surgeon who opens up a patient that doesn't know what to do with the patient and then calls an intern and says, boss, isko stitch karke wapas kar do, mereko nahi pata kya karna hai. It is that patient of Indian cricket which is now recovering. This Indian cricket changed temperamentally also. Remember the incident of John Lever and Vaseline at Delhi. Bishan Bedi was then the captain. Can you imagine something like that happening with Virat Kohli around or with this Indian cricket team under any captain around? Look at how Siraj, the fast bowler this time, responded to racist chants from the crowd. And be under no illusions, those chants were racist, because one of those chants was also brown and then a three-letter word which I'd rather not mention. You can imagine, brown so-and-so, brown so-and-so. This team will not take it, and this is somebody who's playing only his test match. So, and I will come back to him in a second, because there is something else to talk about. Ravichandran Ashwin today, we are all celebrating his batting. He's also shown his impact on this series with his bowling. So one more bit of nostalgia that goes on is Bedi Prasanna, Chandrasekhar, Venkat. India had the golden spin quartet. Of course India had the golden spin quartet. I grew up watching them bowl. In 1964, the first test match I saw in Delhi at Kotla against England. 1969, the test match we won against Australia at Kotla. Spinners were the best in the world. But look at the spinners today also. So just because we were great in the past doesn't mean that we can't be greater today. So let me again give you some data, and this is again between Mohandas Menon and Akash Chopra's book. And this data tells you that Ashwin today, Ravichandran Ashwin, has the best strike rate for any spin bowler in the entire world since the Second World War. That means since 1945, Ravichandran Ashwin has the highest strike rate for any spin bowler of 54 deliveries per wicket. You want to see his peers? Murli Dharan is at 55, Shane Warne is at 57, and then you go on to others. Nathan Lyon, great off spinner, the second best in the world, the best is Ashwin. Nathan Lyon is 64, Graham Swan, who was a great off spinner, also performed very well against India, is 60. Abdul Qadir, you think he was a magician, 72. And that too, when he got to bowl behind Imran, Waseem Akram, Waqar Yunus, bottle tops, everything. And even then, against a softened batting lineup, he got 72, strike rate of 72. Saeed Ajmal, 67. So you have Ravichandran Ashwin today at 54. And I will tell you some more. And I know that comparisons don't work exactly, because India now has fast bowlers that India never had in the past. And that is something we talk about at some other point, because I can't go on and on like a test match. If you look at the great Indian quartet, Chandrasekhar, strike rate of 66, the best. Prasanna, 76. Bishan Bedi, 80. Venkat Raghavan, 95. I mean, in between them, you put our Bhaji, Harbhajan Singh, at 69. So once again, there were many other things that were different then from what they are now. As I told you, the most important thing is now India has not only wonderful fast bowlers, but I would say the canniest fast bowlers in the world. They may not be the fastest, but they are the canniest fast bowlers in the world. And India has a brilliant bench strength. So when three of India's frontline bowlers, fast bowlers are out, that is Ishant Sharma, Umesh Yadav, and of course Mohammad Shami, India still has the bench strength to field three brilliant fast bowlers who can hold their own against the best batting lineups in the world. That having said, I will tell you that my standout moment of this test match, and I think also this is so much a tribute to the new India, to the changed India. So if I may tell you my favorite moment of this test match, not just of this test match, but of Indian cricket, and also a very good indicator of what India is like now and how India has changed. It was that national anthem as the teams were introduced and as the match began. And Siraj, our fast bowler, not able to hold his tears. Now, it reminded you that playing for the country in a test match is such an emotional experience. And the same young bowler then, when he was abused on the boundary, doesn't matter, he was hit for two sixes, he came back and he complained, and he said, I will take no nonsense like that. This is a far cry from India putting up with John Lever's Wesleyan, or with even my friend Kapil Dev, an aggressive player, letting Kepler Wessels, the South African captain, get away with hitting him in the shin with his bat deliberately after he had munkaded Gary Kirsten in South Africa in the 1992 series. By the way, I happened to cover that series in detail for India Today magazine. I've also spent some time covering sport as and when I could get the time and opportunity to indulge myself.